Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council studio with Doug Lear. On a nice Friday afternoon, mostly. Well, let's check in. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department outreach biologist. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I think when you get down to it, in the world that we live in, you know, there's nothing that race relations or COVID or the stock market or the grain market or the Twins or the Vikings, they can't take away Friday. It's still so, Friday, no matter what's going on in the world, right,
so
Mick?
So true, yes. It's just another day of soul searching, right? And asking personal questions, where am I at in regard to my fellow man? So I guess that, you know, it's a good thing. And maybe a little time out on the lake or out, you know, walking the field, doing a few things, hunting and fishing, that might be a great place to do a little reflection.
I know it's not a news flash, Mick, but we have continued to see just a huge spike in outdoor recreation, interest, activity. And, you know, I always have to like take a step back when the phone rings or the email pops in, and I do my best, and I fail a lot. Just ask my wife, you know, if you want to, she's keeping a running tally. No, but what I'm saying is, like, I took a phone call earlier this week about some baby ducklings that were wandering across, and they were like, they're so far away from water, I'm not sure if they're going to make it. Now, the biologist in me says, well, ma'am, here's the situation. Ducks lay probably around 10 eggs. And even after they lay those 10 eggs, maybe one doesn't hatch out, possibly two don't hatch out. Another one that does hatch out is actually trampled on by his brother or sister and doesn't even make it out of the nest. Once they get out of the nest, maybe it's a raccoon or a stray cat or a great horned owl. Something might eat one of those baby ducklings. And when we get a year from now, if there are one or two ducklings that are still alive, that duck is considered successful.
Plus, isn't mom moving them somewhere? They're all single file behind mom.
Right. Mom's moving them. They can move a long ways to get to water. They can move a lot longer to get to water than in relevance than you and I. And in my mind, I'm just like, okay, we've had, you know, we've had riots going on. We've had a pandemic. We've had a stock market crash. We've had trade with China. We've had droughts and fires, and there's locusts across the ocean. Yeah. And I think in my mind, I just kind of go, and you're worried about a couple of ducklings? Yeah. You know what I mean? So in the big picture, but the reason that they're worried about a couple of ducklings, the reason that they see a fawn laying in a ditch and they think, man, is this thing orphaned? Did the mom get killed? Is there something wrong? How can we save it? The reason that people are more aware of that and calling that in and reporting that is because it's an escape from all those other things that I was talking about.
Sure.
So that escape is generating more calls and more interest, and I'm thankful for it. I mean, I love when people are seeing nature and they're stopping and they're thinking and they're asking questions, and I love that. So I put that in the context of the world that we're living in. And when we talk about a weekend to get outdoors and we talk about camping and boating and fishing and hiking and walking or just sitting out on the back patio and watching the sunrise early in the morning or the sunset on a Friday night or going for a Sunday afternoon on a Saturday, I really am thankful and appreciative of it, because I also realize that's part of why we live in Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota, because we are, even in an urban area like a Fargo or a Minot or Pierre or Rapid City or Sioux Falls, even in those bigger cities, we're still a lot closer to the rural than we are to the urban in a lot of counts.
So true. And on this day of doing a little reflecting, of course, we can also dream of, will I win the deer lottery in North Dakota?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you didn't get your application in by Wednesday, you're not going to.
Okay.
you're gonna be a loser. You're not going to win the lottery. I
suppose it's still too early to say you had a, you know, huge wave and a big influx of applications.
You know, when we are looking at the numbers, when we start like on Monday looking to see, okay, we've seen a higher percent coming in now than we do in past years. That's one of the really interesting things about the data-driven world that we live in, the accessibility to numbers. I can remember back in the day, really actually not too terribly long ago, when I'd be at the State Fair in Minot, and we had this big computer printout. And the State Fair, unfortunately this year ain't happening, right. But takes place the backside of July. And that's when the deer lottery would be held, and people would be looking at this big computer printout, looking to see if they drew a tag. Because they didn't know. We didn't have this automated computer system that sent you a text message right in the middle of your board meeting to find out, or right while you're unloading grain, or right while you're fixing fence to tell you that you got drawn or not. And it was really kind of cool. Now we had to stop that because there were things like, hey, you've got my name and date of birth out there, and people can, because you could look up and see, oh, Mick Kerr drew another mule deer buck tag. Mm. That's 3 years he's drawn that. And back in the day, it was actually kind of fun. We look on it now and we're just appalled that you would have this big stack of information.
And everybody found out. George won, I didn't. Doggone it.
You know how many complaints I got about that, Mick?
None?
Not a single one.
Oh, okay.
You're absolutely right. Not a single one. People were just kind of, they didn't care. Which fast forward to the here and now, and we protect our information, and the world has changed where if you put out somebody's name and address and date of birth on a computer database and let people look through it at the state fair.
Holy mackerel, yeah. The world will end.
Right, right. So here we sit on the Friday. The deer application deadline for North Dakota was on Wednesday, and there's still going to be some lag time between the application deadline and when we're going to be able to get that lottery done. But if past years hold true, we're probably going to have that deer lottery done by the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. So the computer system has allowed us to really basically cut in half the lag time. And people that don't hunt, well, what's the big deal? You know, the season doesn't start until Friday at November 6th at 12 noon. And if you want to put your vacation in for, hint, hint, hint. Even if you don't draw the tag, if you want to get back home and enjoy the deer opener, it'll be on Friday, November 6th at 12 noon. But it does allow for somebody to find out, okay, because I work in a business where the first person that puts in for vacation is going to get it, and I don't want to take vacation unless I get drawn for a deer tag. So there are some functional reasons for having this done earlier to help on planning, but it's too soon now. But I will tell you that we'll be talking about it when the deer lottery does happen, and I would venture to say, unless there is a computer glitch, and wow, that does happen. That is, as much as they've sped things up, they've broken a thing. A computer has broken a thing here and there. But I would say, by the 4th of July, give us a month or so, we'll probably be able to tell you if you drew a tag or if you didn't draw a tag, Mick.
All right. Well, that's super as far as for the deer hunters.
Yeah.
Which is a rightful tradition in North Dakota and South Dakota and Minnesota.
You're absolutely right. And where we live and in the Midwest, the deer hunting is a tradition. And we've seen a spike in interest. Now, our deer allocation, our deer tag numbers were up this year, a little over 3,000. So we had a few more tags. But what's really kind of ties into the genesis of our conversation is there is a strong and a growing interest in the outdoors. And it's not simply just from the consumptive, the hunting side of things. We don't like license gopher hunting in North Dakota, but I would venture to say this spring, we've had more people out gopher hunting than we've had in past years as well, Mick.
Stripies, prairie, or pocket gopher?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Oh, okay.
You know, the prairie dog hunting in South Central North Dakota, out in the 48th Southridge area, the gopher hunting, which, in some cases might be a little bit of a lost form. It helps out the rancher. Mm-hmm. It definitely helps out the rancher.
And it greatly increases the skills of the marksman.
Bingo. you're absolutely right. Is you take a dad and a son or a couple of brothers and kind of plopping themselves down out in the pasture, go for a walk across the pasture and making sure that not just your cattle, but the neighbor's cattle aren't in the close vicinity. And you sit down there with a couple of boxes of 22 shells on a beautiful Saturday or Sunday or a third, what doesn't matter the day of the week. And the one thing about rifle shooting is you can have a big 7 mag or a little 22, and accuracy is accuracy. Mm-hmm. And the more times that repetition, you know, that's one thing that we really kind of try to preach to young hunters is just picking up that rifle on November 6th when the deer season opens isn't enough. And you can do yourself a lot of favor. Yeah, it's, you know, set up a target, do some target shooting in the summertime when the weather is much nicer and you're not dealing with frozen fingers and cold and wind. But when you can get that repetition of shouldering the rifle, squaring up with the target, sighting in, and squeezing that trigger.
Muscle memory.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of which, my muscle memory has lapsed on trimming the hedges.
Okay.
Because I trimmed the hedges on Tuesday, and I'm still feeling it on Friday.
You're sore today, huh?
but it's a great comparison is, you know, if you're going out every couple of weeks in the summertime shooting that 22, then, you know, bringing it up to the 22 250 and then getting up to the 30-06 or something a little bit bigger, it's going to help you in the long run. And again, maybe you're not into fishing, maybe you're, you know, not into bird watching, getting out and doing some shooting, taking that daily poke, as some people like to call it, getting out and squeezing the trigger is another way to enjoy the outdoors, Mick.
Well, and it is a skill, like shooting buckets, like shooting Plinken 22 or anything but...
It is hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, whether it's, you know, painting a picture or squeezing the trigger, hand-eye coordination, absolutely.
Yeah, what it's all about. All right. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist. We are going to take a break and come back. And I understand you've been getting a plethora of reports on rodents out there.
Absolutely.
All righty. That's next here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. It's Farm Talk.